fighting for America.
We always hear that we're a nation of laws, but it turns out we're only a nation of laws when it suits our federal overlords. You know, they like to pick and choose what laws they're going to enforce.
Fighting for Idaho.
Let me go.
Anonymous sources say Bo Bergdahl's captors are eager to make a deal to release him, but they don't know who in the U.S. government has the authority to make that happen.
Fighting for you.
Those of us that are not being held hostage, those of us that are free to say so, should push the envelope just as far as we can to seek peaceful release and quick release of anybody that's being held hostage.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
That's what it's about, my friends.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Joining us now from the Idaho Lightfoot Militia, Captain Jeff Stankevich. Captain Stankevich, thank you for joining us.
Thanks.
Want to make sure I got your rank right. Is that correct?
Yeah, Captain.
All right. When you hear about all these issues going on in the world today, whether it's what's going on in Nevada, whether it's the BLM, the NSA, are these one of the reasons why that you are in a militia and that you are one of the leaders of the militia?
No, actually, it started off 5 years ago, 5-6 years ago, and it was mostly because there wasn't anything in Idaho to help organize and train the militia. The militia is the people in Idaho, according to the state constitution. And my thought was, if there ever was an emergency in the state, I wasn't worried about national or international issues. What would you do? I mean, in the middle of an emergency, are you going to call up the militia? Then you need to start training and organizing and equipping, and that would be the worst time of all to do it.
So tell us a little bit about the Idaho Lightfoot Militia.
Well, I think one of the biggest misconceptions about us is we're not a group that you join. We're members of the militia because, like I said, you're a member of the militia by the Idaho Constitution. So all we do is get together and train and organize. We vote in our officers so that if ever there was a time when the governor needed to call up the militia, we'd be here, we'd be ready. There'd at least be a core of people that were organized and trained.
Sure. Are you working with the governor?
We've tried to. I've met him 2 or 3 times, gotten copies of our standards into his hands, but haven't gotten a call back yet.
Would you like a call back?
Oh, heck yeah. I'd love it.
Well, when you talked to the governor about it, what was his reaction?
He said that he would look into us and have his people call our people.
Okay, and you're still waiting for the call?
That was it, yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
That was a few years ago, too, so...
All right. Well, yeah. You're still waiting for the phone call at 580-KIDO. So what type of training do you all do? Because when people hear militia, there are a lot of misconceptions.
Well, yeah, I'd say everyone thinks that, you know, the only thing you think of is firearms training. And I'd say firearms training is probably 10% of what we do. We do a lot of medical training. We do training in land navigation, map reading, survival skills, and then, well, of course, we also do weapons training, safety. We start off with safety, and then work our way into small unit tactics.
And how often do you guys train?
Once a month. We do 1 weekend a month, usually either a Saturday or an overnight. Sometimes we do a Friday night to Saturday or Saturday to Sunday morning.
And these people do their own time, their own money. There's no reimbursement. It's just people with their own equipment.
Yeah, everyone pays for everything themselves. We don't get any support from the state or any other organizations. It's all volunteer.
Well, what's the state of America today?
divided.
And the reason why I'm asking you, sir, that open-ended question is you listen to Alex Jones, and you get one impression. You listen to Glenn Beck or Sean Hannity or Dave Ramsey or Kevin Miller, you get another impression. So for you as a member of the militia, as someone who, instead of goofing off on Saturdays and Sundays, instead of playing golf, you're not only out in the field, but you're organizing folks in a safe and an effective manner to defend themselves.
Yeah, it's it seems in this country now it's pretty much split. I don't know if it's 50-50, but it's there's definitely a split between people who want to have more centralization in government, think that everyone should live the exact same way and be governed by the exact same rules, no matter where they live or who they are, and another set of people who want to live like our founders set us up to begin with in individual states. And all of the, really the duties of the federal government was just foreign, pretty much outside the country. You have national defense, relations with foreign countries. Everything else was to be handled by the states individually. So if you didn't like the rules in one state, you didn't like the laws in one state, you'd move over to another state that had laws that, you know, were more in line with your beliefs, living around people that were more in line with your beliefs.
What do you say to people that say we don't really need a militia because we have the National Guard?
My stock answer is usually which one, the one in Afghanistan or the one in Iraq? The National Guard has been nationalized. It's been taken over by the federal government. It's pretty much performs the function now of the what the Army Reserve used to be. It's not a state entity anymore. Even though each one is called, you know, the Idaho National Guard, Washington National Guard, they've been taken over by the federal government. And even if they were run by the states, you still don't have that many people. I mean, each state can't afford to have that many people in their guard units. So you would still need a backup to that, and you'd need the militia. I talked in front of county commissioners before, and they said, well, we don't need you guys organizing. You know, you brought it up right there. It says in the Idaho Constitution that the governor can call up the militia in an emergency. So that's all we need. And I said, that's about the craziest thing I've ever heard. I said, how about if we run the fire department that way? Your house is on fire. So we're going to hire some guys and build a building and buy some trucks, and we'll get them some training. Then we'll fill them full of water. Then we'll be over to your house to put the fire out. That would be the same thing as in the middle of an emergency trying to call up the militia. We need to do this ahead of time. The militias that fought in 1775 had trained together for decades. It was generational. They didn't just show up on Lexington Green that morning and start shooting. They'd been training for years and years and years. Many of them had been members of the military.
580 KIDO, as we continue on, what do you say to the critics of the militia?
Well, some of them are not unfounded. There are a lot of, we like to try and differentiate ourselves as much as possible. Like I said, a lot of people think that we're a private group that you join, and we're not. A lot of other so-called militias are just that. They're private paramilitary groups. Some guy starts up a militia, calls himself the general, and anyone that comes in, you're going to be my men, and they have to be approved and the right kind of person or whatever. The militia is supposed to be the people. It's all the people by law.
Well, what other message would you like to share with everybody here?
Just that we're not the crazies that the media would have you believe. I like to tell people our groups, because we're open with the public, because our meetings are public, our trainings are public, we try to liaison as well as we can with the local sheriff's department, we get a lot of really good people. We don't get the people that show up in somebody's basement for a meeting. We have retired military, we're probably half retired military, firemen, EMTs, ex-Army medics, Navy corpsmen. Medical training on one Saturday, and a guy that came in collapsed, and everyone thought it was part of the training. It wasn't. The guy actually had a medical issue and collapsed, and he's surrounded by, I think there were three MTs, one ER nurse, a Navy corpsman, and one other Army medic. So he couldn't have collapsed in a better place.
Indeed. What about the kooks out there? How can you tell if someone is a kook within the movement?
Well, it's tough to tell the kooks from the feds, actually, but they're always the one that show up at the meeting and say, you know, hey, let's build bombs. We had a guy showed up at one meeting, seemed really nice, seemed like a great guy, came in and said, you know, I'm going to be able to help you guys a lot. I think I can work. You know, I can do some training. I'm ex-military. I used to be in the Army. I'm going to be a real asset to you because I used to be an engineer, and I know how to build bombs. And I looked at him right in the eye, right at the meeting, and I said, you know, that's great. I'm really glad that you have that kind of experience. You're ex-military. Thank you for your service. Don't ever bring it up again. It might come in handy in a future battlefield somewhere in some scenario, and we'll be really happy that you have that experience. Don't ever bring it up again. Don't ever talk about it. He never came back. So either he wants to be a member of some underground kook organization, or he was a plant.
Now, what about folks who are here in the Treasure Valley? We have a lot of people that are in the militia movement. What do you know about them?
I know they're a great bunch of guys. I've come down here spending the weekend. I took some vacation time to come down here and meet with them, the Ada County unit. And I'm actually going out for pizza with them this evening, and they're having their training tomorrow. So they invited me to come out and train with them.
What kind of training are you going to be doing? It's going to be wet.
That I don't know. Well, it'll be wet training. we don't train because of the weather. I've slept in a sleeping bag on top of 2 feet of snow and 14 degrees up in the mountains. So it'll be a lot nicer than that.
And wait a minute. You're saying you're not a kook for doing that?
No, not a kook, just trying to be prepared.
Well, we appreciate that. Any other advice that you'd like to give us this morning?
No, just try and prepare yourselves the best that you can. We've had people that can't, or, you know, because of their position or because of where they live, they can't really join a militia or don't feel comfortable joining a militia. And we have what's called a Militia of One program. It's on our website. Actually, I'm getting it set up. We have a new website that's not complete yet, but we have a Militia of One program. It's also in our standards if you download our standards off of our website, lightfootmilitia.com. And it tells you how to prepare yourself, what kind of gear and training, you know, you should work on yourself, and so that you can be ready if an emergency ever happens, you can be folded into a unit.
Well, we appreciate it, sir. Thank you for your time.
All right, thank you very much.
Okay, take care. It is 8:17. Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. Coming up, if you're just tuning in, we are asking you the question, based on what's going on with Mr. Bundy, based on what's going everywhere else, should we take the morning show, your morning show, to the Bundy Ranch? And I will have to talk to Dorothy Miller about this to get approval from her. We'll have to get approval here from upper management. But I think it's a good question to ask you, because we're here to talk about what you want to talk about, sometimes what I want to talk about. But it's amazing that Mr. Bundy says a couple words, and then all of a sudden he's vilified, he's ostracized, to our own Sean Hannity going after him. And it's kind of deflated the bubble. Now, for me, at 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com, I look at it a different way. I look at it that it's a chance for us to actually go down and do some real reporting and find out what's going on. Now, I know it's very easy sometimes to report about the new traffic light on Hillsdale and Billsdale, or, Billy's bringing an app to town, or the Broncos schedule. I mean, I know those are real life issues, but when you're talking about 62% of the state, 62% of the state of Idaho being owned by the feds, does that interest you? Got to tell you, until I saw the Bundy Ranch thing, I thought Tea Party Bob had too much tea. But it's a lands issue. You'll hear from Sean Hannity. You'll hear from Cliven Bundy coming up next, but I want to hear from you. At 580-5436, most people say, go. Other people are saying, Bundy's a nut. If you haven't heard his comments, we do have the excerpts. We will get those to you so you can listen. Do we have those now? We do, Sweet William?
I'm wondering, are they better off with their young women aborting their children? Are they better off with their young men in prison? And are they better off with the older people on the sidewalks in front of their government-issued homes with a few children on them? Are they better off? Are they happier than they was when they was in the South?
There you have it, the comments concerning African-Americans by Mr. Bundy.
You know, I didn't understand those people very much. I couldn't understand. They was burning their own city down. It wasn't white man burning. It wasn't a foreign enemy of burning. It was the Negro people burning their own city.
You'll hear his entire comments next. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO. Let's get you to work.
Are your ears burning yet? They should be. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Is it time to go to the West to find out about Mr. Bundy?
Darling, you got to let me know.
To find out if he's legit.
Should I stay or should I go?
If you want to go down there, I'm all abroad.
If you say that you are mine.
I think you should get on a plane and go down there.
Yeah, I definitely think you should go down to Nevada.
So you got to let me know.
Yeah, I think you need to go down to Nevada.
Should I stay or should I go?
What, you ain't gone yet?
Should I stay or should I go now?
That's what we're asking. Should we stay or go? We're looking at going down to Nevada and finding out the real truth concerning Mr. Bundy. We go to Rhonda in Caldwell at 580KIDO with Kevin Miller in the morning. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning, Kevin. You know, I'm originally from Nevada, and I think it would be a nice drive for you. But honestly, if you want to find out about the truth for the BLM, I would do a lot of investigation as to what authority that they try to act under. And it would take some work on your part, but everything under all of the governmental acts that lend authority to the Federal Register, that's the tool that the BLM uses to manage people. I've put on a lot of events with my husband throughout the years. I was also a rancher, and I can tell you firsthand that it's their perception of legal authority and their relationships with Agenda 21 that they manage people off the land. And I'm not saying don't go, but I think my recommendation is for you to really do some research under that authority. I think one of the strongest mechanisms for people who want to recreate on this federal land is called cost recovery. If you want to put on a mountain bike race or a motorcycle race and you're traveling on a road, you actually have to hire an archaeologist to do a cultural clearing on a road that's traveled by vehicles, BLM vehicles actually, before you can run a bicycle race on it. And you have to pay that archaeologist thousands of dollars. And those are mechanisms by which they actually limit people's logical and unencumbered use of public land. Not only that, but the money that these programs generate really only feeds the machine. It doesn't benefit the people of the United States. It benefits the BLM. Their revenue is to grow their agency.
Now, we see that all the time with everybody buying ammunition and all that. But, you know, you take a look at the West, though, and whether you're talking about, what Chemlik's talking about and others, you've got the Coalition of Western States, you've got these folks last week that met in Salt Lake. You know, the point being that most of the lands are owned by the feds.
Right, and that's the authority. That's one of the authorities that I would ask you to look at. When the states were Nevada, for instance, in 1864, when statehood was created, there was a promise that the states would receive those lands from the feds, and they didn't follow through. They retained ownership for their own private benefit because the government is a corporate structure. So those funds are used to generate programs and the agencies to live long and prosper.
Rhonda, great points. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
All right. We appreciate it. More coming up. We'll also hear from Clive and Bundy. We'll hear from Sean Hannity. And we'd love to hear from you. 580-KIDO.
Are your ears burning yet? They should be. Kevin Miller, 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Is it time to go to the West to find out about Mr. Bundy?
Darling, you got to let me know.
To find out if he's legit.
Should I stay or should I go?
If you want to go down there, I'm all broad.
If you say that you are mine.
I think you should get on a plane and go down there.
Yeah, I definitely think you should go down to Nevada.
So you got to let me know.
Yeah, I think you need to go down to Nevada.
Should I stay or should I go?
What, you ain't gone yet?
Should I stay or should I go now? Should I stay or should I go now? If I go, there will be trouble. And if I stay, it will be double.
Good morning, Kevin Miller with you here at 580KIDO. Thank you all for joining us. Coming up, more of your phone calls. We'll talk to our friend Tea Party Bob in a minute. We're joined by Christy Morales with a very special announcement. Christy, good morning.
Good morning.
So let's talk a little bit about the 5th Annual Artists for Kids, the Robert Manuel event, ma'am.
Yes, I'm representing that event, and we are partnered with the Rose Advocates, and which is a shelter for abused women and children. Tonight we're having an auction from 6 to 8 p.m. at the VFW Hall in New Plymouth, and then tomorrow we'll have the Manuel Mile Race, which is generally for children. And at 10 o'clock, and then at 10:30, we'll have the Roberts Race. There's still time to sign up, too. You can either do it online at racesignup.com and find the Roberts Race, or you can just come on down, and we'll get you signed up tomorrow morning for the races. But we would love to have everybody show up and help us with this great cause. The money goes to scholarships for kids in Roberts' class. When they graduate, and also our seniors, present seniors, will be getting little scholarships for them.
Why is this so important?
It's important because he was a second grader in my second grade class. I taught him in second grade, and then he went off to be with his mom in the summer, that next summer, and he was brutally tortured and murdered by his mother's boyfriend. And we are a small community who rally around our loved ones, and we love this little boy. And we would love for people to understand the importance of keeping children safe.
What was Robert Manuel like?
He was very shy. He was very sweet. He would always give me what I called ambush hugs. He would come up from behind me and just hug me, and so I always knew it was him. He was what we may call precocious in the way that he was just very, he liked to talk and when he knew you, and just sweetest smile, angelic smile, and just a boy to remember.
And one more time, if we could talk a little bit more about this, where will the money go, and
Money goes to before the auction. We have already raised over $17,000, and we are using that money and money that we get between now and 2019. Robert would have been a seventh grader this year, and so that class is earmarked to get the money for scholarships. And then the races that we've been doing for the last couple of years, that money that we raise for that, like this year we're giving two $500 scholarships to the seniors who graduate, who, you know, they have to do an essay, and they're chosen for that. And then every year until Robert's class graduates, we will be giving away small scholarships to those kids. And that's the criteria, basically, has been that they are invested in this with us. They do the races. They help with the auction. This year we made with a local artist, Patty Young. We had the seventh grade class and the high school welding class make a huge gate that's a garden gate out of recycled materials, all metals. And so they are all very invested in this gate, and it's going to be auctioned off tonight as well.
Christy, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thanks for letting us have time with you.
No, our pleasure. Thank you, ma'am.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Kevin Miller with you here. We go back to the phones. We go to Tea Party Bob at 580 KIDO.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you this morning?
Just trying to figure out if I'm heading out or staying in? What are your thoughts?
Oh, go ahead down. Find out what's happening. You know, you can't get anything from the press that's worthwhile anyway. I'd rather listen to you.
Well, thank you. By the way, Tea Party Bob mentioned in Mr. Popke's piece on who appears on 630 KIDO.
Mr. Popke. Well, I'll call him Mr. Popke.
I couldn't believe that he got the radio station wrong.
I haven't. Is it in the paper or is it on his
website? You're in the paper today. You're on page 810.
Oh, well, I'll take a look when I have time. It's not something I worry about. I just wanted to comment a little bit about Bundy's issues. You know, I'm not happy with Bundy's comments, and I don't by any means condone his comments. But that does not change the fact that he is being wronged by the government. Let's stick to the real issue. The government agency tried to confiscate Bundy's property without due process. And, basically, with arms in their hands. You know, if we allow that to happen to him, we're going to be the next ones. Or let me put it another way. If you were the only person standing on a beach and you saw a man drowning in the ocean, and you knew he was a bigot, would you try to save him, or would you just let him drown because he was not politically correct? You know, we spent too much time talking about political correctness and not enough time talking about how our God-given freedoms are being taken away from us one by one, each and every day by our government. Go down there and see what's going on.
Tea Party Bob, thank you.
Take care.
We go to Terry from State College, Pennsylvania at 580 KIDO.
Good morning, Kevin.
How
are you?
Good morning, Terry. Good.
I echo what Bob said. You know, you do need to go down. And I think Idaho needs to hear from the Kevin Miller perspective, not from the individuals sitting in their ivory towers giving us their opinion, you know, the Becks and the Hannitys. We do need to hear the Kevin Miller perspective, somebody that's been there personally, somebody that's, you know, was able to touch, see, feel, you know, get a flavor of what's really going on. And I think it would be a good thing if he went down, because we're going to hear it from someone that we trust. We trust his perspective. You know, he looks at it. He looks at everything very clearly and very black and white. He has that Eastern perspective, as some people might say. And it would be good. It would be a blessing for everybody if you would tell us exactly what you see down there.
Well, what do you make of everybody turning on him all of a sudden?
Well, I think that was well planned, and I'm surprised that the powers that may be that were down there weren't, in fact, prepping him for get ready. They're going to come in. They're going to be the nice guys. They're going to ask you all these great questions, and then they're going to cut it, clip it, shred it, you know, and misalign it, and we're going to feed it back to the public. So, you know, I'm surprised with all the help that went in that somebody didn't sit down and say, okay, now let's discuss the interview that they're going to want to have with you. Yeah, I'm really surprised. And he probably should have released a statement earlier. Ask any question you want, and then release it later, at a later point. Have a chance to think about it, chew on it, you know, because sometimes coming right off the cuff like that, we say what we feel and what we mean, but the words don't exactly sound like what we feel in our heart, you know, based upon somebody else's hearing perspective. And I feel sorry for the man. It's from his heart, there's no doubt. But when he used the word Negro, you know, I grew up back east. That is a respectful term. Now, I personally am not sure any longer from year to year what is politically correct and what isn't, or, you know, what is racially provocative and what isn't. I don't know. It changes so rapidly, and I think that a lot of that has to do with, you know, the left who's always attacking us, say, oh, no, that's racist, or oh, no, that's racist. And it's getting to the point where my question has become, what isn't racist? Kevin, you know, when we moved out here, my pastor, he was as black as coal. I would have trusted my children's life with him. He was one of the most wonderful people I've ever known. We grew up together. And I had black friends. I had Asian friends. I had friends from all over the world. So this racist stuff really doesn't fly, except in those that are ignorant and except, you know, with those that believe. I've got a mother-in-law who ran from the bombs in Germany in World War II. Ran from it, and she years ago said the same thing is happening here in America, and now she says, oh, I just love Obama. He is wonderful. Kevin, I don't get it.
Terry, I'm with you. I got to run. Thank you.
You have a good day, Kevin. Thanks.
All right. We go to a young lady who used to appear with us on our Saturday show, but she's moved on to bigger and better things. Pat Miller, my mom at 580 KIDO.
Hi, Kev. My answer is no, no, no.
What do you mean, no, no, no?
No, no, no. First, you know, to Iraq, then you go to, you're all over the place. I say stay home and stay safe.
Well, there's a story to be told.
I know, and I know you're so good at that, and I love you to death for wanting to tell the story, and I think people in Idaho need to know that they're at risk, too. But my first concern is my son, so there you go, from a mother's point of view.
You remember that you've never been a big fan of me going on the road, and since we're talking race, remember when I went to go see Kweezy and Fume with the NAACP?
Oh, I did. That was so scary for me. I just couldn't believe. My heart was in my mouth and my prayers when my beads were in my hands. Let me tell you, that was, you always like to do things that need to be done and show the people what's going on outside of your specific area. So I'm so proud of you, but from a mother's heart, the answer's no.
Well, we'll consider that.
Okay, you consider that.
I love you, Mom.
I love you to pieces. Bye, honey.
Bye-bye. All right, 580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. We continue on. Taking your calls about whether to go to Nevada or not, the only person that can back up Mom is Patriot Ray at 580 KIDO.
Back her up? I'm saying you need to go.
Well, I mean, that's how we follow up Mom is you.
Oh, I see. Okay, well. I think you need to go because we need the real story. We're not going to get it from the media out there. We need it from a person that we trust and who will seek out the truth. You need to talk to Bundy himself and see what his real thoughts were. I don't believe he's racist. I believe he said it wrong. But in reality, a lot of what he said is true. I mean, if you go to some of the places where I came from in Southern California, there were housing there that was affordable housing, but they became ghettos after a short time. It wasn't too long, and they were subsidized housing. So, you know, you allow yourself to become a slave by somebody showing you what to do and then taking care of you. You want somebody to take care of you. In reality, you are a slave. So whether you're white, black, brown, or purple, if you allow that, people on welfare who don't really need to be there. There are people that need it, but there are those who just take advantage of what's given to them. They are slaves in reality, and someday the pickin's going to come to roost.
All right, Patriot Ray, we appreciate that at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We'll talk to Craig and Diana next, and we are asking the question, do you want this show to go to Nevada to get the truth, regardless of what it is? We'd love to hear from you, 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Time for traffic.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Is it time to go to the West to find out about Mr. Bundy?
Darling, you got to let me know.
To find out if he's legit.
Should I stay or should I go?
I have my answer is no, no, no.
If you say that you are mine.
First you go to Iraq, then you go to, you're all over the place. I say stay home and stay
so
safe.
So you got to let me know.
I'm so proud of you, but from a mother's heart, the answer's no.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580-KIDO. Quickly to Craig in Boise. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning. Sounds like we have a clash of opinions here. I know, bad pun, sorry. I think you should go, and the reason is I keep hearing contradictions that are never cleared up, and such as he wanted to pay, he couldn't pay because there was no way to pay, and then there's other things that go along with that. But I think it would be good to go down there and get it firsthand because there's just, like I was saying, so many contradictions involved with this.
Craig, thank you. Appreciate it.
Sure. I was going to say something else, but I forgot it, Kevin. So.
Happens to me every day. Thanks.
Take care.
All right, you too. To Diana at 580-KIDO. Hello, Diana.
Hello, Kevin. Good morning. A couple of questions real quick. The first thing, what is the first thing that the Obama administration and our government administration now does when they want to discredit anybody or get them to shut up and go away?
Play the race card.
You got it. And who's not to say? I have seen the rant thing that they call it on the internet. I haven't seen who's asking what questions. They never show what the questions are. I'll guarantee you that there's all kinds of people out there shouting questions at him. What do you think of the Negroes? What do you think of colored people? Anything to get him to have some kind of a response that they can have him slip up on, which is real easy when you're older, and I can attest to that. Number one, my mother just recently passed away at 89. To the day she died, she always referred to them as colored people. That was not a derogatory term. It's just where they grew up and the age that they were at. I still call them black people, and I'm sure that's incorrect now because I think they moved to African American.
Diana, great point. Got to run. Thank you. Quickly to traffic at 580 KIDO. Hello, Dave. All right, folks, we appreciate you. And now you're going to say, well, Kevin, are you going or not? I'm going to go take this to upper management. I'm going to go call my wife and keep it here throughout the day and on our Facebook, and you'll find out where we are Monday. Right now, I really don't know. I'd like to be in Nevada. Keep it here to find out. Good day. God bless. Keep the faith. Stay dry. Serving.